So we have seven verses. I'm just going to chant the initial ones, and then we'll speak on the one that's on the board. After explaining the transcendental qualities of Ramananda Rai, the Lord sent Pradyumna Mishra to the residence of Ramananda Rai, and Pradyumna Mishra learned Krishna Katha from him. After this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saved Gopinath Patanayaka, the younger brother of Ramananda Rai, from being condemned to death by the king. Ramachandra Puri criticized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eating. Therefore, the Lord reduced his eating to a minimum. However, when all the Vaishnavas became very sorry, the Lord increased his portion to half as much as usual. 267. There are 14 planetary systems within the universe, and all living entities reside in those planetary systems. This is an interesting concept. All living entities, I'm not sure. It seems to, though, refer to those that are interested in Krishna, because the next verse says, dressing like human beings on pilgrimage, they all used to come to Jagannath Puri to visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So from all the different, there's 14 planetary systems, and according to this, people were coming from all of them to see Lord Chaitanya at Jagannath Puri. It means that they had to be elevated beings. So text 269, one day all the devotees headed by Srivas Thakur were chanting the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not liking the chanting of his transcendental qualities, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised them as if he were angry. What kind of chanting is this? He asked. Are you leaving aside the chanting of the holy name of the Lord? So now this verse today. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised all the devotees, telling them not to show impudence and spoil the entire world by becoming independent. So this is a bit of a mysterious incident, but anyway, we'll get into it. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned all his followers not to become independent or impudent. Unfortunately, after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many apasampradayas, so-called followers, invented many ways not approved by the acharyas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described them as the aul paul kartabhaja neda daravesha sani sahajya saki beki smartha jata goswami ativadi chudahari and goranga nagari. So this is a list of the various apasampradayas. The Aul Sampradaya, the Bhaul Sampradaya, and others invented their own ways of understanding Lord Chaitanya's philosophy without following in the footsteps of the acharyas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself indicates herein that all such attempts would simply spoil the spirit of his cult. After the time of Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis, there was a lot of concoction going on. Sometimes the people would claim to be Krishna. You know, certain gurus would claim to be Krishna, or certain followers, so-called followers of Lord Chaitanya, would dress up like gopis, and some of them actually were smoking ganja. Some of them thought that through sex you could merge into Brahman. There are all kinds of strange theories. And Lord Chaitanya actually, in this particular verse, why is he chastising his disciples for glorifying him? Why do you think he's chastising them? No, it's interactive. You have to respond. If you don't respond, there'll be punishment. Yes, no, see, Govinda will always answer, but we want to see if anybody else, yes, in the back. Well, we glorify devotees.
Krishna. But devotees, but in this case, Lord Chaitanya was being glorified not as the devotee, but differently.
How is he being glorified, do you think? I mean, why would he object to being glorified if devotees are glorified?
Because devotees are not glorified as the supreme, they glorified as the servant of the Lord.
That's the right answer. Thank you. Yeah, he's being glorified as God. Now, why, since he was God, why would he object to that? Yes? You were scratching your... Oh, no, but I saw your hand, so what's the answer? The question is, since he is God, why would he object to being glorified as God?
Because he came in the mood of a servant, of a devotee.
He was teaching how to practice devotional service as a devotee. So he didn't want to be glorified as God because it... But the interesting thing is, in the next few verses after this, after he chastises his immediate followers to not glorify him as God, all the people outside in a huge crowd all began glorifying him as God. And very, very, well, I just want to, I know I'm skipping ahead, but, you know, whoever has the next class, they you know, these things are worth repeating. But it says, all the people began to call very loudly, all glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the son of Maharaj Nanda. Now you have appeared to deliver the whole world. Oh, Lord, we are very unhappy. We have come a long distance to see you. Please be merciful and show us your favor. So just after he gets finished chastising his followers, the people outside all start glorifying him as God as well. So it says, when the Lord heard the humble petition made by the people, his heart softened. Being very merciful, he immediately came out and gave audience to all of them. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when the queen comes out and does that thing with her hand. Is that the way she does something like this, isn't it? So he came out and he acknowledged the people. Raising his arms, the Lord asked everyone to chant loudly the vibration of the holy name of Lord Hari. There immediately arose a great stir, and the vibration of Hari filled all directions. So let's just enact it. Hari! Hari! So, seeing the Lord, everyone became joyful out of love. Everyone accepted the Lord as the Supreme, and thus they offered their prayers. While the people were offering their prayers to the Lord, Srinivasacharya sarcastically said, now just see the relationships. He was using sarcasm on Lord Chaitanya, which I think is, you know, it's great, you know, because you always think, you know, so many of these relationships based on reverence, they're nice, but Srinivas didn't seem to be impelled to, you know, to speak to him formally. He's used sarcasm. He said, well, he said, at home you wanted to be covered. Why have you exposed yourself outside? And then he says, who has taught these people? What are they saying? Now you can cover their mouths with your own hand. So you've just shushed us, told us to be quiet. Now what about all these people? Are you going to tell them to be quiet too? And then he says, it is as if the sun, after rising, wanted to hide itself. We cannot understand such characteristics in your behavior. And then Lord Chaitanya replies, my dear Srinivas, please stop joking. You have all combined together to humiliate me in this way. So these are very sweet relationships between the Lord and his devotees. He sometimes, you know, affects to chastise them, but then at the same time he loves them and he feels that they're kind of, I mean, I hesitate to use such a word, but he almost like they're goofing on him. Not, but that's not quite right. It's not, they're not goofing on him, but they're teasing him. You know, we know who you are, and you're telling us not to acknowledge who you are, but you let everybody else acknowledge who you are. So what's the deal with that? So they're kind of, you know, in their intimate relationship with the Lord, they can sort of tease him and give him a few pokes. And he likes it. He relishes it. That's the point, that he relishes that relationship. But anyway, the history of in our Sampradaya, after Lord Chaitanya, all these bogus groups came up. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhakti Vinod Thakur especially spoke very strongly against these groups that concocted their own methodology for worshiping Lord Chaitanya. Now, Prabhupada, in one of his purports, he says that these Apasampradayas are better than the Mayavadis. He said, because at least they accept Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme. But, he said, still, what they're doing is not authorized. So, I thought I would look up a little bit, a few things. Of course, you know, I always do. A few pertinent sections that I can read, and then we can discuss them a little bit. This is from the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. On the basis of scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, which reveal these confidential directions, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami regarding all the regular activities of a devotee. Purport. In the parampara system, the instructions taken from the bona fide spiritual master must also be based on revealed Vedic scriptures. One who is in the line of disciplic succession cannot manufacture his own way of behavior. There are many so-called followers of the Vaishnava cult in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who do not scrupulously follow the conclusions of the Shastras. Now that's an interesting phrase right there, who do not scrupulously follow the conclusions of the Shastras. And therefore, they are considered to be apasampradaya, which means outside the sampradaya. Some of these groups are known as Albal, and he gives a list. In order to follow strictly the disciplic succession of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one should not associate with these apasampradaya communities. So the first point that Prabhupada makes here, that these groups, they don't follow strictly the injunctions of Shastra. Now, this is one of the main distinctions between the Gaudiya Sampradaya, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, and these apasampradayas. That they make up stuff. They either treat their gurus as though they're God, or they make up mantras. They sometimes, as I said, they dress like gopis, and they think that through sex life they can attain liberation. There's so many. Some of them use ganja. They smoke ganja, and they think that while they're high, they're experiencing the ecstatic symptoms. Sometimes they feign ecstasy, even though they're not actually experiencing ecstasy. They feign ecstasy to get cheap followers and sometimes cash remuneration in the form of money. And there's a famous story that Prabhupada at one point in Vrindavan had stated that if someone is behaving in this way in the temple, in other words, some of these sahajiya people come in and start, you know, rolling on the ground in ecstasy, he said, you can tell whether they're fake or not if you give them a good kick. And if they continue to roll around on the ground in ecstasy, then you know they're actually bona fide. And if they don't, if they become upset, then you know that they're fake. But he meant this in which is often the case in our history, that Prabhupada would say something as a joke, and people would take him dead seriously. I know that there's a famous story that at one point he was visiting, I think, some of his temples in Africa, and the people didn't know how to cook. They made some horrible preparations. And Prabhupada said, in the future, just turmeric and salt, wasn't it? Just use turmeric and salt. So this went out to the society. And for some time, people were under the impression that you only needed to use turmeric and salt in your cooking. So anyway, this idea was there in a certain devotee's mind. I won't mention by name. I believe it was the temple commander at the time in Vrindavan. And one of these persons came in the temple and started rolling around, you know, apparently in ecstasy. And there was a group of people he had with him, which were like his cheerleaders or something. And so this devotee went over and gave him a good kick. And he jumped up and started shouting very angrily. And the whole crowd of people began shouting, "Oh, you've mistreated this great sadhu. How dare you do such a thing?" And so there was such a hubbub that it came to Prabhupada's attention. And he actually had to talk to this person and, you know, ask, you know, basically apologize to him for what his disciple had done. And then the disciple had to also go to the crowd and apologize. So it caused quite a disturbance. So even if we may not respect the behavior of certain groups, it's better not to kick them or insult them or do something equally obnoxious. Here's another. This next thing is from a lecture, which kind of really describes the proper mentality of a Vaishnava, which distinguishes the Gaudiya Vaishnava from other groups. And it's a little lengthy, but it's really a great description. Prabhupada is talking about when Krishna was leaving Dwarka and the lamentation and the unhappiness that was being experienced by the people. And he describes it like this. He said, so this Krishna consciousness movement is very serious and important. Here are the signs, how they love Krishna. One side, so as he was leaving, they were feeling very emotional and tears were coming. Says, on one side, they cannot check the tears coming out. Krishna is going away. Another side, oh, if I shed tears, then there may be inauspicity. Now, this is a word that Prabhupada has made up in case, you know, anybody wants to use it. It's bona fide. Inauspicity. Actually, it's inauspiciousness, but it sounds great. Inauspicity. He said, oh, if I shed tears, then there may be inauspicity. How much perplexity. These two sides. So on the one side, they're thinking, oh, I feel very emotional, but if I show tears, maybe that will be disturbing to Krishna. That will create something inauspicious. If I shed tears, there may be inauspicity. How much perplexity these two sides? Dilemma. Prabhupada calls it a dilemma. They're feeling a dilemma. And then Prabhupada says, now this I think is a great touch. Prabhupada was classically educated in Scottish Church College. He says, between the horns of Shila and Charybdis. Does anybody know what this refers to? Nobody classically educated. I had to look it up. I remember it from school, but between the horns of Shila and Charybdis. So that's an idiom which is derived from Greek mythology, meaning having to choose between two evils. And we also, you know, in ordinary society, we say on the horns of a dilemma, or between the devil and the deep blue sea, or the most common one, between a rock and a hard place. So same idea. But it explains also that in the Odyssey, when they were sailing away from the sirens, you know, the sirens were the ones that lured the sailors to come closer, and their boats would be smashed on the shore, and they would be destroyed. So they managed to get away from the siren's island. So it says Odysseus and his men must navigate between the straits between Scylla and Charybdis. Scylla is a six-headed monster who, when ships pass, swallows one sailor for each head. So that's pretty terrifying. On the one side, you've got Shila, who's got six heads. And then Charybdis is an enormous whirlpool that threatens to swallow the entire ship. So they're between these two tremendous dangers. So Prabhupada actually compares this situation to the emotions of the inhabitants of Dwarka, that they feel like they're caught in the real horns of a dilemma. I feel like crying, I feel emotional, but if I do, maybe Krishna will be disturbed, just like we know we have the example of Daruka, the chariot driver of Krishna, who was fanning Krishna. This is mentioned in Nectar Devotion. Fanning Krishna. But as he was fanning him, he started to feel ecstasy, and his hand started to shake. But he repressed it. No, I'm serving Krishna. So this is actually an important point, although it may sound like a detail. Prabhupada goes on to explain. He says that is the position. The lover, intense love, creates such situations, as Lord Chaitanya exhibited. And then he quotes from the prayers of Lord Chaitanya, the Shikshashtakam, Yugaitam Nimishena Chakshusha Pravishaitam Shunyaitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Vira Hename. This is the emotion of Lord Chaitanya. He says, without seeing Govinda, the whole world is vacant. This is the feeling of the Vaishnava. This is love. Let me try to become Krishna conscious. If it is done, all right. If it is not done, I shall remain in my position. What is the loss? Not like that. One must be so eager that without Krishna consciousness, one should become mad. One should become mad. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. Separation, not direct contact. So the Sahajiyas are very much about direct contact with Krishna. We're about, Lord Chaitanya's mood is about separation, that feeling that I'm unworthy. Prabhupada goes on to explain. He said, direct contact is not possible. Neither that is the way of worshiping by the method of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is Sahajiyavad. Sahajiya, just like there's Mayavad, this is Sahajiyavad. I shall experience Krishna directly and have ecstatic symptoms. He says, this is Sahajiyavad. I am talking with Krishna. Krishna is snatching my cloth. There is a book, one lady has written, her experience, that Krishna comes, he talks with her, and snatches her cloth. She has written openly. But this is not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's way. There is one gentleman, Mr. Rai, in Pune, and he has got also a woman. Everyone must have a woman. Parakiya. This is Sahajiyavad. This idea that you've got to have this consort and enact Krishna's pastimes with your consort. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never said this is the parakiya rasa, one should have one woman. No, he observed complete sannyas life. Now this is a very important point also in the distinguishing between the sahajiya and the and the Apasampradayas. A very important distinguishing point was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who they glorify, strictly followed the principles of sannyas, so much so that he would practically, even if a woman wanted to see him, they would have to be kept at a distance. He was very, very strict in his execution of the principles of sannyas. There was no funny business. Very severe, rigid restrictions, he says. Very severe, rigid restriction about women. But now, these sahajiyas, they are going on in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are apasampradaya. Real Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sampradaya is that he should be feeling like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, separation. Not samboga. So when you're coming together, it's called samboga. But vipralamba seva, service and separation. And this is the mood, Prabhupada says, of devotees who are actually elevated in Krishna consciousness. Interesting the way he describes it. Oh, I am so wretched. I could not serve Krishna. How can I see Krishna? It is not possible. In this way, that is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But even though I do not see him, neither is it possible for me to see him. It means, what am I? I am an insignificant person. Why should Krishna come and see me? This is right. Why shall I aspire about seeing Krishna? What qualification I have got? This is bhajan. This is bhajan. Why should I be proud that now I shall see Krishna? What am I? That is the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Alisha, Alisha va padaratang pinastu mang mama hatang korotu va adarshana. Adarshan, without giving me audience, you kill me. You break my heart. Still you are my Lord. You are my worshipable Lord, nobody else. This is love. This is love. Krishna may not come. I may not see Krishna for thousands and thousands of lives. I may rot in the hellish condition of life for many, many births. That doesn't matter. Still, I cannot give up Krishna consciousness. This is required. I may be sent to hell, heaven. It doesn't matter. What qualification I have got that I want to see back to home, back to Godhead, it is not so easy thing. So why should I be sorry for that? I should be happy even in the hell simply by thinking of Krishna. That is wanted. That is wanted. That is Krishna consciousness. So here is the example. Tears by force are coming out. Oh, Krishna is going away. At the same time, they want to check. They want to stop it. There may not be any inauspicity for Krishna. They're thinking Krishna for Krishna, not for personal self. Oh, I am now crying. I have become very much fortunate. I am crying for Krishna. No. My crying will create inauspicity for Krishna. I must check it. This is Krishna consciousness. So I know this is a little heavy, and it's also very elevated sentiment. But the idea is he's drawing a very clear distinction between the mood of Sahajya and the mood of Krishna, real mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That we're supposed to follow this mood of Lord Chaitanya, this mood of separation, service and separation, not worrying about whether we see Krishna or don't see Krishna. We're here to serve Krishna. That's the mood. Then, of course, he also talks again about Sahajiyas. He says the Sahajiyas, they want to merge into the existence of Brahman. Many of them, that's their mood. They want to merge into Brahman. Jai, jai, Shiv, Radha Gokula Nandaki, jai. So it says they think like that, that by sex one can rise to the platform of merging into the effulgence of Brahman. Even such hajjas, they will not even read Bhagavad Gita. Some of them, they actually say, oh, we don't need Bhagavad Gita, that's for the beginners. they think that they are so elevated, they have surpassed reading Bhagavad Gita. And some of them also even say this. Now, this is amazing. They say that kirtan is also not required for them. Kirtan, one who has very much advanced, he doesn't require to chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada says, I have heard it. It is not that one who is advanced, he hasn't got to take part in kirtan. That is nonsense. Sada. Sada means always. Whether you are advanced or not advanced. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who can be more advanced than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He was daily joining in kirtan. 4 hours daily at Jagannath Puri temple. It was a regular program. And then he adds, Bhagavat Tattva, the science of God, is vigyan. It is a science. It is not sentiment. Sentiment, I close my eyes and shed some tears, and then I go for smoking cigarette. This sentiment will not help us. It is a science. So Krishna is Paratattva, accepted by all acharyas. We are not talking of the fools and rascals who are theorizing without any knowledge. We are concerned with the authorities. So according to the Vedic system, if you say something very emphatically, you must prove by Vedic evidence. Now, this is also a very important distinction between Apasampradaya, Sahajism, and the Gaudiya line, that if you're going to make a statement, you better be able to back it up. Not that you just talk whimsically, make stuff up. It says here, you must prove by Vedic evidences. Otherwise, you can go on talking, nobody will hear. That means nobody sensible will hear. Kaviraj Goswami, because he's actually referring at this point to a section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Kaviraj Goswami is making so many statements about Lord Chaitanya, but he's backing them up with Shastra. He says, Kaviraj Goswami is very, very advanced devotee and scholar. He is not an ordinary human being. He was empowered by Madan Mohan. So, such a great personality, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and has a very humble mood in that prayer. Jayatang sudato pangor mamamanda matergati matsarvasvapadambo jo shiradha madanamohano. I am lame and ill-advised. He describes himself as lame. He was very old at the time. Ill-advised. And also, that expression, mandamati, it means also that we're very slow in spiritual advancement. That's how he describes himself. But he says about Madan Mohan, but their lotus feet are everything to me. So he's empowered by Madan Mohan. Lord Chaitanya also, and Goswami, especially Rupa Goswami, cited this verse, Shruti Smriti Puranadi. You know this verse? I think some of you must know it. Shruti Smriti Puranadi, Pancharatri Kividing Vida, Akantaki Harer Bhaktir, Utpatayai Vakalpate. Utpata means simply disturbance. And then he cites the, I think it's Vivekananda, Yatamat Tatapat. I can manufacture my own way? No. This rascaldom has been condemned by Srila Rupa Goswami. He says that Harera Bhakti, you will find many so-called bhaktas crying, falling down on the ground, but immediately after he is smoking bidi. You know, some of you know what bidi is in India. They have these funny little cigarettes. I don't know what they're made of, but I guess it's tobacco and some kind of leaf wrapping. And he gives this as an example, that they're rolling on the ground, and the next minute they're smoking. He says, so why this is going on? Because they do not follow the injunction of Srila Rupa Goswami. Chanting, dancing very loudly, and after the performance has finished, I have seen it. Can you give me a biddy? You see? My throat is now dried up. So this is utpata, disturbance. The Vedas, they begin with Upanishad, Vedanta Sutra, Upanishad. They are all Vedic literatures. Puranas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, these are all Vedic literatures. Four Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, Atharva, then Upanishad, then the Vedanta Sutra, then Srimad Bhagavatam. At the end of each chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated by Vyasadeva, Brahma Sutrasya Bhasya. Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary on the Brahma Sutra. Brahma Sutra means Vedanta Sutra. Bhagavatam is actually acknowledged as the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Brahma Sutra is the gist code, Prabhupada says, of all Vedic literature. And then it is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Jivasya tattva jigyasa, jivasya for a living being, the only business is to inquire about the absolute truth. This is the only business. So that's our business, according to Srila Prabhupada. That's our only business. Of course, we have many businesses. But this is the business that is being emphasized by the acharyas. That is from a lecture that Prabhupada gave in Mayapur in 1975. Here's another reference. This is from a commentary by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Adi Lila, 9th chapter. He says, members of the other 13 apasampradayas are envious of the devotees who follow Sri Rupa. Therefore, Lord Krishna never considers them as dear. That is why people who maintain animosity towards the pure devotee followers of Sri Rupa actually become, he uses the expression, they become lagu. Does anybody know meaning? Lagu? Huh? Small, did you say? Small. Yes, that's one meaning. Anybody else? Lagu. There's guru and there's lagu. What is the good meaning of guru then? Heavy with Vedic knowledge, that's guru. Lagu means flimsy or light or insubstantial or minor. Means not very significant. So those apasampradayas are written off by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as lagu. Basically insignificant. It's better than being Mayavadis, but not much. Another characteristic Prabhupada writes about in, this reference is from the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is quite heavy, but I thought it would be worth reading. And these are all just safeguards against, you know, taking things cheaply. Sometimes haji is translated that way, as those who take things cheaply, who don't understand the actual seriousness and significance of the practice of bhakti. So here it says, Prabhupada writes, when the world becomes degraded, civilization becomes demoniac, and for the common man, the rectum and the genital are taken very seriously. Serious. They're taken very seriously as the centers of all activity. Even in such a sacred place as Vrindavan, India, an unintelligent men pass off this rectal and genital business as spiritual activity. Prabhupada's very straightforward. rectum and genital business. Such people are called sahajya. According to their philosophy, through sexual indulgence, one can elevate oneself to the spiritual platform. From these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that the desire for sexual satisfaction, those desires are meant for the aravak, the lowest among men. So, those who are not scrupulous followers of the Vaishnava Shastra and the scriptures, those who are Vedic scriptures, those who do not strictly follow, they are classified in one of these apasampradayas. They're considered to be insignificant, light, flimsy, again, those kind of adjectives. There was one incident where one of Lord Chaitanya's followers called Kamalakanta Vishwas, he deviated from the principles of Lord Chaitanya. He was actually a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya, but he was rejected because he rejected Lord Chaitanya's following Lord Chaitanya and went to some persons who were not very qualified, one of these groups, or and he it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is written that the Lord ordered Govinda from today on, do not allow that Baulya, Kamala Kanta Vishvasa, to come here. He didn't even want to see his face. That's how strongly he felt about it. They don't allow him to come into his presence. And also, there is a verse where it's talking a little bit about this, the transcendental subject matter that was taught by Lord Chaitanya. And the verse goes like this. This is from the, let me check my references here. It's coming from the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Such topics are not to be discussed freely, because if they are, no one will understand them. Such are the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unto one who is able to understand, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown mercy by giving him the association of the servant, of his own servant. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes, an ordinary person cannot understand the transcendental ecstasies in the mode of Srimati Radharani. We know that Lord Chaitanya exhibited these ecstasies. Well, now here's another important point, that sometimes when you're reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita and you read about people like expressing all these ecstatic feelings and rolling on the ground and expressing all these ecstasies, you might think, well, what's the difference between that and, you know, the sahajiyas? They're rolling on the ground, apparently experiencing ecstasies. How can you distinguish the difference? But the difference is, I've tried to explain, the difference is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers are, first of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu strictly followed the principles of sannyas, and so did his followers, and so much so that Junior Haridas, for a minor infraction actually, was dismissed from his company completely because he spoke to a woman privately. Very, very strict, very... So the point is, it's not some whimsical, you know, we'll have sex and that will be a way of connecting with the divine. Or we'll have some ganja and that'll be a way of connecting with the divine. And so they think that they can imitate these ecstasies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then therefore the ecstasies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come into disrepute as some kind of display of sentimentality. So we should not misunderstand the behavior of the associates of Lord Chaitanya as some kind of false sentiment. It says here, unfit persons who try to understand them are perverted into the Sahajiya, Baula, and other sampradayas. Thus the teachings are perverted. Even learned scholars in the academic field cannot understand the transcendental bliss and ecstasy exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pure devotees. One must be fit to understand the purport of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. In other words, you've got to have the qualification, the adhikar, to actually understand these things. So even if now when you read about them, you think, I can't understand how they're feeling. I don't understand that. No, you don't understand. So wait. Don't try to jump ahead. One must be fit, it says, to understand. So we don't invent new methods. We follow the established methods of the Goswamis. Lord Chaitanya has deputed the six Goswamis, specifically of Vrindavan, and especially Jiva Goswami, but also Rupa, Sanatan, Jiva Goswami. These persons have established the proper Siddhanta, the proper scriptural conclusions for how to develop love for Krishna, to how to be a real devotee. So we try to follow in that line, and therefore we follow whatever Prabhupada has taught us. So I'll leave it open now for if there's any questions, comments, questions, complaints. I'm sure none of you are Sahajiyas or Apasampradaya followers, but this is just sort of an educational